They're turning out every last kilowatt of power they can. And new generators are being installed as fast as they can be obtained, or as fast as Congress will let us obtain them. Moreover, the rapid industrial development of the Pacific Northwest is going to require a great deal more power in the years ahead. Let's look at some of the facts about this industrial development. In less than a decade, the power from the Bonneville and Grand Coulee projects has led to the establishment in the Northwest of electric process industries turning out $140 million worth of products each year. And those unbelievers said it couldn't be done. Many other new industries have sprung up in the Northwest. The indirect effects of industrial growth here have been felt all across the nation in higher employment, higher income, and greater wealth. For example, the new aluminum rolling mill at Spokane is selling its products to 600 plants throughout the nation, which employ 350,000 workers. This shows that industrial development here in the West does not detract from the prosperity of any other region. Instead, it adds to the prosperity of the whole nation. The United States is still growing and growing fast. The growth of the West means a better life for people here and better markets and sources of supply for the rest of the country as well. You might think that the private power interests and others who have fought against the development of the West would have learned by now that Western growth means increased national prosperity. But they still haven't learned. Again, the record is clear. Last year, I asked the Congress in my annual budget message for an appropriation of $146 million to carry forward the reclamation program for the development of water resources. There was a powerful move in the Congress to cut this back to less than $50 million. Even in the face of protests from all the Western states, the House of Representatives voted to cut my figure by more than half. And this year, the Congress doesn't seem to be quite so interested in holding back the development of the West. But I have a suspicion that this might have something to do with the fact that this is 1948. I do not believe that the people of the West will go along with a system that appropriates enough money for Western development only 1 year in four. And even this year, their appropriation of adequate funds is in doubt. Some of the people who oppose Western development represent selfish interests who are more concerned with present profits than with future growth. They refuse to admit that funds spent for reclamation projects and power plants and navigation locks and fish ladders are investments which pay huge dividends as the years go by to the people of the United States. This administration is determined that it will continue to move ahead with a constructive, practical program against the delaying tactics of ignorance and selfishness. It will fight in the future with the same vigor as it has fought in the past. The private power lobbyists are still fighting. Where they can't block the production of public power, they are trying to block its distribution at low cost. For example, down in California, Shasta Dam has been completed and has begun to turn out power. If that power is to be used for the people's benefit, it must be moved over the transmission lines to the areas where it is needed. But the Congress has blocked the building of the necessary transmission lines year after year. This has been at the expense of the public and to the benefit of a private company. We can't stand for that. And if you people out here stand for it, it's your own loss. I'm fighting for you. Now do some fighting for yourselves. This is the same company which has so little faith in the future of the West that it failed this spring to be ready to furnish vitally needed power. As a result, the whole of Northern California has to resort to a brownout. Those people are just like the Aluminum Company of America were when the war was going on. Old man Davis came down to Washington one time and told me that 300 million pounds of aluminum was all the country would ever use, and that is enough. We've got 3,500 million pound capacity now, and we're short. There's no reason why the public should be forced to suffer in this manner. Utility companies must not be allowed to block publicly owned transmission lines which will bring public power to the people at low cost. As more and more public power becomes available from the great dams all through the West, we can see the time when all the great systems will connect together. From the Colorado through the Central Valley up to the Columbia Basin, there should be a vast network of high-voltage transmission lines. I suppose when that time comes, we'll still have to battle with the men of little faith. I'm sure of it. You better wake up. The fight over whether or not publicly produced power shall be used for the public benefit only is a part of the larger battle concerning the development of the basic resources of our great river valleys. One important lesson we have learned from the Tennessee Valley experience is that the resources of a watershed area must be developed jointly in relation to each other if they are to contribute everything possible to the development of the region. A second great lesson we have learned from the Tennessee Valley is that the local, state, and federal governments must work together in regional development if that development is to be, in fact, for the benefit of the people. I have urged time and time again that the experience of the TVA shows the way in which we should move in other great river basins. We're only a small distance along the road we want to travel. Water that can be used for power, for irrigation, for navigation, is going to waste all over the country. Millions of acres of land that are now dry or swampy can be put to work in productive agriculture. Soil, water, and forest conservation is just beginning to be understood and put into practice on the scale needed. In the Columbia River Basin, Bonneville and Grand Coulee mark a fine beginning, but we must have more dams in that mighty stream if it is to be effectively harnessed for useful purposes. I believe the present flood shows that we should try to make progress even faster than we had planned, not slower. Last year, the Congress threw us backward when it cut the appropriations for this work. The cuts that are threatened this year will throw us back again if they are made. Such cuts as this are the worst kind of false economy. You know what they're doing with these appropriations now? They're tying them up in such a way that even if we get them, we can't use them to the best advantage and the best interest of the public. All of us should take to heart the tragic events that have happened here in the Northwest in the last few weeks. If we don't conserve our resources wisely, we shall pay a terrible price. We cannot afford that price if we are to remain strong and to enjoy a better life in the years to come. We must keep before us the goal of using all our natural resources fully for the benefit of our children as well as for ourselves. But we will have to battle every step of the way. There will still be men of little faith who are afraid to trust to the people the development of the resources of the nation. I believe we have the courage and the will and the vision to carry the program through in spite of these men. I believe the people here in the Northwest and every other part of the country understand the issue clearly and will choose the path of growth and progress. We know what must be done, and we know how it can be done. But in order to get it done, you must make your voices so plainly heard in the Congress that there will be no mistaking your will and your faith in the future of this great nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the President of the United States.